From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, April 8th. Coming up, we'll learn how a Chicago Fulbright scholar is seeing firsthand how President Trump's efforts to slash government spending are changing how the world sees Americans. But first, these headlines. A portion of North Vermilion Street near Main Street in downtown Danville will be closed to traffic starting tomorrow for the demolition of the Vermilion County Courthouse Annex. The city set aside yesterday and today to bring in demolition equipment for the project. Tearing down the annex is expected to take up to 2 weeks. The main Vermilion County Courthouse building across the street from the annex will remain open during the demolition, but visitors will have to approach from the south or east to enter the building. The annex is attached to the 12-story Breezy Tower. That building is also slated to be demolished later this year. Teacher training programs in Illinois could be impacted by a new U.S. Supreme Court decision. The court last week allowed the Trump administration to continue with cuts to these programs while a lawsuit to block them plays out. Isabella Nieto reports.
Funding had previously been awarded under programs aimed at training teachers to work in hard-to-staff areas. John Barikovich oversees the grant at a school district in Southwest Suburban Summit.
These programs are designed to provide additional resources and to incentivize people to go into the educational field and support them so that they can be successful.
Barikovich and Chicago Public Schools, which also has a federal grant, say their districts haven't seen any impacts yet. I'm Isabella Nieto.
There's a bill moving through Springfield that would limit crime-free housing laws in Illinois. Currently, more than 100 municipalities have local laws that allow landlords to evict tenants for issues like making too many 911 calls. Democratic State Senator Karina Villa of Chicago is hoping to change that, especially for victims of domestic violence.
If you know that that's coming, what you do is you refuse to call 911. If you're in danger, you refuse to call 911 and you stay with the abuser because you're way the what's better.
A group representing Illinois' municipalities is staunchly opposed. Lawmakers have until the end of May to pass the bill. The Trump administration wants to rewrite a rule that governs what the Clean Water Act protects. As Harvest Public Media's Kate Grumke reports, the rule has become shorthand for federal government overreach for some Midwestern farmers.
What counts as a water of the U.S. has gone back and forth in decades of court challenges. That's left farmers confused, says Missouri Farm Bureau President Garrett Hawkins.
As a farmer, I've always said, my fellow farmers have always said, you know, we support clean water, we want clean water, but we also need clear rules.
Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin is proposing a rewrite of the rule that he hopes will be permanent. But environmental lawyers say the rewrite will lead to less protections preventing pollution in water. I'm Kate Grumke, Harvest Public Media.
Still to come, we'll learn how a Chicago Fulbright scholar is seeing firsthand how President Trump's efforts to slash government spending are changing how the world sees Americans. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, sunny with a high of 47 degrees and a northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 34 degrees, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 56 degrees, south wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a chance of showers and a low of 41 degrees, south wind 10 miles per hour. And for Thursday, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 63 degrees and a northwest wind 10 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, President Trump's tariffs are here. We'll talk about that and more with Austin Goolsbee, the head of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, plus what the tariffs mean for Illinois and Illinoisans. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. A Chicago gynecologist is in the East African nation of Uganda on a Fulbright scholarship. It's a long-standing international exchange program that connects Americans to the world. But the program's funding was frozen by the Trump administration in February. Now, the doctor is seeing firsthand how the president's efforts to slash government spending are changing how the world sees Americans. The doctor reached out to Anna Savchenko.
My name is Dr. Nicole E. Williams. I am calling from Kabbalah, Uganda.
Nicole applied for the scholarship to go to Uganda last year.
So Fulbright only let 1 in 5 people in as fellows. So I thought to myself, you know, who am I to think that I would be able to get such a prestigious honor? And I guess it just took friends of mine to believe in me to help me believe in myself.
The funding is given to people who are going to do the most good with it, like Nicole, who wanted to investigate maternal health outcomes.
They send you an email, so they don't even say, you know, congratulations in the email line. They just say, here, click to find out. And then I found out. I kind of screamed a little bit. And then I called my mom and my friends and said, yeah, I guess I gotta go, because I didn't think I was gonna get it.
She flew from Chicago to Kampala, Uganda on January 20th, the day Trump was inaugurated. Then she drove for almost 6 hours to Kabbalah. She got set up in a guest house just a couple of blocks away from the Kabbalah University School of Medicine, where she teaches while also treating local patients.
We had a 64-year-old lady who'd had an abnormal pap test done at an outside clinic, and she came to us for follow-up, but this hospital doesn't actually have a pathology department, so they can actually take a pap test and look at it. So I showed my residents how to do a really, really simple test. All we do is just have a look at the cervix with vinegar, simple table vinegar, and it can tell us whether or not we're suspicious of any kind of abnormality. So we did that for the patient, and we realized that her abnormal pap had actually progressed somewhat and that it was better for us to go on ahead and do a surgery to make sure that she doesn't have to worry about that ever again.
Experiences like this brought her joy, and she saw how much love and respect Ugandans had for Americans because of this kind of care. She was just getting into it when Washington pulled the plug.
All the Fulbrighters, especially the East African Fulbrighters, we're all on our own little WhatsApp group chat. And one of my colleagues said, hey, I didn't get my second set of funding. Do you know anything about it? And none of us knew anything about it. And then finally we heard something from the news that the funding had been cut. The part that really hurts the most for us is that we are supposed to be the best of the best that the United States has to offer to the world. And we've been treated as if we don't matter, because apparently to this administration, we don't.
The message to Ugandans, they don't matter either.
I've been to many, many countries. And while people like Europe, they love America. It is a visceral and deep love of this country, my country, America. Huh. This takes years to cultivate that type of sentiment, that love of America. And you can't go anywhere without seeing a USAID sign here in Uganda and many of the places where I've been. Now it's all gone. Vaccine programs are gone. Nurses where I work have been furloughed. Family planning, HIV medication. I saw a newspaper article, actually a headline, on a Ugandan newspaper just yesterday. They're running out of HIV meds for the patients. The reason that we are loved so much is because we do this kind of work. Without it, we're just nothing.
Nicole says she's got some savings to keep her afloat for a month or two. After that, she says she'll have to cut her mission short and come back to Chicago.
That's Anna Savchenko reporting. That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Jim Meadows, Isabella Nieto, Mawa Iqbal, Kate Grumke, and Anna Savchenko. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.